All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services, Inc. third quarter results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services, Inc. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Total's third quarter 2016 conference call. Present with me this morning is Yulia Gorbach, Total's VP Finance and CFO. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended September 30th, provide an outlook for our business, and then open up the phone lines for any questions. Yulia, please proceed.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under heading of risk factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued yesterday. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total's financial results for the 3 months ended September 30, 2016, reflect continued challenging North American energy service industry conditions. Consolidated revenues for the third quarter of 2016 were $46.5 million, a 30% decrease from the third quarter of 2015. Compression and process services contributed 70% of 2016's third quarter revenues, rental and transportation services 23%, and contract drilling services 7%, as compared to relative contributions of 69%, 24%, and 7% in 2015. Revenue per spot to release operating day in our contract drilling segment during the third quarter was $13,700, a 14% decrease from $15,801 per day realized during Q3 of 2015. This decrease was due to lower pricing. Segment EBITDA was $0.5 million for the third quarter of 2016, compared to $1.2 million for 2015, with EBITDA margins decreasing to 17.5% of revenue in Q3 of 2016 from 26.6% in Q3 of 2015. During the third quarter of 2016, we undertook an extensive review of our depreciation estimates relating to our drilling rigs and related equipment. This review was triggered in part by our determination to decline unprofitable work, which in turn was contributing to equipment idleness. This review resulted in a prospective change to our estimate of depreciation effective July 1, 2016. That recognizes depreciation expense during periods of inactivity. As a result of this change of estimate, depreciation expense for the third quarter of 2016 increased by $0.9 million. Within the rental and transportation services segment, segment revenue per utilized piece of rental equipment for the third quarter of 2016 decreased 2% compared to Q3 of 2015 and increased 1% for the 9 months of 2016 compared to the same period of 2015. Unlike contract drilling services segment, pricing in this segment relative to 2015 was relatively stable, due in part to the fact that pricing decreased sooner and to a greater extent than what was experienced in contract drilling. As well, the mix of equipment utilized also contributed to relatively flat year-over-year revenue per rental piece for both 3 and 9 month periods. Segment EBITDA for the third quarter of 2016 was $1.3 million, or 12% of revenue, compared to $4.2 million, or 27% of revenue, in 2015. Segment EBITDA margins are negatively impacted during the periods of low activity by this segment's relatively high cost structure. Third quarter revenue within our compression and process services segment decreased 29% in the third quarter of 2016 compared to the prior year comparable period. This segment generated $3.9 million of EBITDA in Q3 of 2016 compared to $7.4 million in Q3 of 2015. This segment's third quarter EBITDA margin declined by 258 basis points as compared to 2015 due to a 40% decrease in quota and compression horsepower and rent, as well as competitive pricing. This segment exited the third quarter of 2016 with a backlog of fabrication sales orders of approximately $62 million as compared to backlog of $35.9 million at June 30, 2016, and $51.1 million at September 30, 2015. Consolidated gross margin for the third quarter of 2016 was 22% of revenue, compared to 25% for the third quarter of 2015. The lower gross margin realized in 2016 compared to 2015 is due in part to price declines arising from competitive market conditions not being proportionally offset by cost reductions. Further, as CDS and RDS segments historically generate a high gross margin percentage than CPS segment, the fact that these two segments contributed a lower portion of consolidated revenue in 2016 as compared to 2015, particularly during the first half of 2016, also contributed to such decline in gross margin. Consolidated cash flow before changes in working capital items was $6.1 million for the third quarter of 2016 as compared to a negative $0.6 million in 2015. The primary reason for the significant increase in third quarter cash flow was income taxes, particularly the realization of $1.3 million income tax recovery during Q3 of 16 as compared to payment of $10.2 million of income taxes during Q3 of 2015. Consolidated EBITDA for the third quarter of 2016 was $4.8 million, a 57% decrease from 2015. Lower activity levels and competitive pricing in all segments, as well as the inability to lower costs proportionately to decreased revenues, due in part to companies' determination to maintain cooperating capacity, contributed to this decline in EBITDA. Total Energy realized consolidated loss, net loss of $1.9 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2016, compared to net income of $1.6 million for Q3 of 2015. Contributing to the quarterly loss for 2016 was $0.9 million increase to depreciation expense in our contract drilling services segment following our prospective change in depreciation estimate effective July 1, 2016. Total Energy financial condition remains very strong, with $80.1 million of positive working capital, including $13.6 million or 44 cents per share of cash and marketable securities, and no net debt at September 30, 2016. The company's $65 million operating facility was recently renewed to February of 2019 and remains undrawn today.
Thank you, Yulia. With the modest recovery in oil and gas prices over the course of 2016, industry sentiment improved somewhat during the third quarter. Contributing to this improved sentiment was the normal seasonal pickup in Western Canadian activity levels, albeit from historic lows experienced during the second quarter. However, industry conditions remained very challenging during the quarter, and North American oil and natural gas drilling and completion activity was low relative to service industry capacity. This imbalance resulted in continued fierce price competition, particularly within the contract drilling services marketplace. Total Energy continued to be selective in putting equipment to work. Our strategy remains to prudently manage our business so as to have a competitive cost structure, but to decline unprofitable work and thereby minimize the cost and effort required to put our equipment back into service when industry conditions normalize. When we do accept work, we strive to provide our customers with well-maintained equipment and exceptional service. In particular, we remain diligent in ensuring our activities are carried out in a safe and responsible manner, and I'm very proud of the exceptional safety performance of our people. For example, our consolidated 12-month TRIF, or Total Recordable Incident Frequency, is at an industry-leading 1.9. As well, our Alberta carrier risk factor for our heavy truck operations, which is a score determined by consideration of traffic convictions, CVSA failure rates, and collision event data over the past year, currently stands at 73% below the industry average. These objective measures confirm our commitment to making the necessary investments to train our people and maintain our equipment regardless of the poor state of our industry. As such, our customers can take comfort that when they hire us to do a job, they are not hiring a problem. While the current environment has not been financially rewarding, it has given rise to opportunities to add quality people and equipment and position our company for an eventual recovery. Our 2016 capital expenditure budget was recently increased by $8.3 million to $25.5 million. Such increase is being directed primarily towards the continued growth of our rental and transportation services segment in Canada and the United States, with a particular focus on growing our fluid management business. As part of this investment, our rental and transportation services segment recently opened a branch in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and hired several new positions at that location to not only support our existing fluid management operations, but to expand our presence beyond the upstream oil and gas industry. Finally, Total Energy believes that the North American energy services industry must consolidate to achieve the efficiencies necessary to remain competitive on a global basis. And we have been busy identifying and evaluating numerous opportunities in that regard. However, we will remain focused and disciplined in the pursuit of consolidation opportunities, particularly given the continued volatility and uncertainty of commodity prices and financial markets. And we will certainly not put the financial stability of our company at undue risk. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. We do have a question from a participant. Please state your name and company and proceed with your question.
Hi, this is John Gibson calling from CIBC.
Good morning, John.
Morning. Just looking at your compression backlog, if you remove the largest Australian award, is it fair to assume all the incremental awards are from your traditional customers in Canada?
I would say North America, but certainly Canada is a big part of that, U.S. as well.
Okay, great. Also, do you expect your throughput in your compression facility to change meaningfully compared to historical levels, just kind of given the uptick in your backlog?
I expect you'll see the backlog roll through over the next couple quarters, and certainly Q3, you know, your absorption rates weren't particularly high. So as we increase throughput, definitely we'll see better absorption rates on fixed overhead. But yeah, as we work through that backlog, you'll see some higher activity. We also did contract our fabrication capacity during the third quarter by subletting one of our lease facilities for the balance of terms. So that dropped our capacity roughly 10% within the whole segment. So we should see some cost efficiencies there over the next few quarters.
Okay, great. And last one for me, just on the rental side, did you guys give up some market shares to protect your margins, just given that they held up fairly well this quarter?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing, I would say, unsustainable pricing in a lot of fronts. You know, within the rigs and the rentals, there's some absolutely ridiculous pricing, and you know, particularly with equipment that has moving parts, we tend to sit on the sidelines. You know, a good example would be centrifuges. You know, those are very expensive pieces of equipment, not only upfront capital, but your maintenance costs. And so we pretty much decide to sit on the sidelines as other groups are tending to work at prices that we believe won't be sustained for too long. So, you know, we're definitely giving up some market share, but we're also, what we're seeing on the rental and transportation side, John, is a lot of business failures. And we expect those failures to continue over the next few quarters, notwithstanding public market sentiment changing. And we continue to be inundated with calls and approaches, both direct and through receivers, banks, brokers. That industry is in significant distress right now. And so part of what our strategy is to preserve our equipment, to preserve our core operating capacity. Definitely, you know, our overhead costs are higher than, you know, if we adjusted headcounts to reflect current activity. We're making an investment in preserving our core people. And our bet is over the next few quarters, that'll pay off.
Okay, great. Appreciate the color, and I'll turn it back.
Thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from John Bereznicki of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Bereznicki.
Just turning back to your compression business for a moment, noticed that Q3 sequentially revenues were down, margin was up. Is that a function of, you know, the revenue mix in the quarter, or is that reflective of you know, the rationalization, I guess, you undertook, I guess, late in the quarter?
I would say more rationalization, John. You know, our rental fleet continue to see, albeit a slowing decline in utilization. That's your highest margin business. So definitely revenue mix was actually negative towards margins. But that group has done, both on the compression and process side, an excellent job on managing costs and just operating as efficiently as possible. So we're pleased with how they operated. And again, as the rental fleet utilization picks up and we see increased throughput through the plants, margins should go up, everything else being equal.
Great. Appreciate the color. And then in terms of the backlog, how should we think about, you know, how quickly it takes you to work through that? I mean, will that be, you know, mostly gone by Q1? And just on that question also, you know, what does the backlog look like subsequent to the end of Q3? So I'll throw a few questions at you there.
So we're seeing, first of all, we're thankful for international work. Canada's tough. That said, we're very pleased with how this segment is competing in the Canadian marketplace. Their market share, I would suggest, is growing, not shrinking. And, you know, we're pleased with how they're competing in the Canadian marketplace despite intense competition. And so, and they're not, you know, they're achieving margin gains through efficiencies, not racing to the bottom on price. But definitely international is a big piece of what we're doing. We anticipate that continuing going forward, and we're working on opportunities to expand our international outside of Canada presence. And I will save specific updates for the appropriate time, let me put it that way.
Great. Thanks again. I think that's it for me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. The following question is from a participant. Please state your name and company and proceed with your question.
Yeah, it's Scott Treadwell from TD Securities. Morning, everyone.
Morning, Scott.
I just wanted to pick up on the rental side for a second. You talked about some failures and obviously talking to receivers and business owners. What have you seen in terms of the equipment quality? You referenced irrational pricing. That you know, one of the consequences, at least in my mind, is not being able to keep the equipment in good nick. Have you seen that in businesses generally on the rental side?
Absolutely. We are turning down a lot of opportunities based on the quality of the equipment. That said, there are exceptions. You know, when we updated our capital expenditure budget here a couple weeks ago, in there, Scott, you would have noticed we picked up a fleet of eight heavy trucks with fluid trailers. Literally that fleet, the average kilometers on those trucks would have been 30 to 40,000 kilometers, 2015 to 2016 vintage, and they've been parked for many months. And, you know, so you had a situation where, you know, an operator decided to park the fleet, and those are transactions that we'll do. Interestingly, what we're hearing, and this is just to give you a bit of a sense of the stress in that sector, we're hearing and we're concerned about it both as a consumer of some trucking services, but we're hearing stories of truckers having their insurance pulled because of concerns by the underwriters as to their state of financial position, which ultimately impacts operating risk.
Okay, and I was going to...
You know, that's, again, I think that will definitely benefit stable companies. You know, the customer base, the last thing they want is a truck hauling their cargo, rolling and having no insurance.
Right. I'm just wondering if you've seen that operationally as well, you know, as an operator of contract drilling rigs where you may not have your rental equipment on location.
Absolutely.
There's been operational hiccups due to quality.
Absolutely, and it's a real problem, and, you know, we see it on our own rigs because we don't force-feed our equipment on Chinook rigs. I'm almost to the point where I might start insisting just because, you know, it does cause issues. And, you know, you think you're saving money, but you're buying a problem. And, again, time will cure this, and, you know, we're, like I said, we're patient people. And so we're not going to try and compete with stupidity. You can't. You have to let it play out. But ultimately, I think this will increasingly demonstrate to the customer base that you get what you paid for. And you're taking on, frankly, risks that you wouldn't even think about. You know, is your supplier insured? You know, those are pretty fundamental questions that a lot of producers don't think about until something happens.
Okay, perfect. The other one for me would be on the labor side. We've heard, you know, pretty generally that the labor market is tightening. Some specific references to trucking in and around Grand Prairie, and then kind of field hands a little more generally. I'm wondering how that is looking for you guys. Obviously, rentals is a little less labor intensive at least today. Just how you're looking at that across Chinook and rentals, and potentially even at Bidell and Spectrum.
So first of all, you know. I guess an immediate answer is the eight new trucks we picked up. We've had no problem finding good drivers. again, I think that's a testament in part to the stability of our organization. People in this industry are craving some stability. And again, part of our investment over the past 2 years has been we have not touched our employee benefit plans, including savings plans. And again, that costs us money. You know, in 2015, we spent north of $4 million on our employee savings plan, i.e. buying total stock in the market for our employees. So similar to our dividend, which we haven't cut our employee benefits. Now, our headcounts have gone down. You know, variable wages have gone down with the market, but we've preserved our core health, dental, savings, all those plans. And so I believe that stability gives us a leg up in a rising market to attract good people. And again, you're always going to get the crowd that'll move for a buck an hour, but to be honest, that's a crowd that you'll never keep happy. And frankly, we would rather attract people that want a steady career. In terms of attracting labor for the rigs, we'll buy it back if we need to. So far, we haven't had issues. I do believe the rigs will be the biggest challenge on labor. Again, a lot of that labor force has migrated outside of the sector. They moved outside of Alberta, and they've gone to, you know, lower per hour jobs, but they're steady. And how are you going to convince someone to come work for 40 days this winter? A lot of cases they won't, and I guess if you're going to try and do that, you're going to have to pay them more. But we will buy labor back. Again, our strategy on the rig side is to have an extremely competitive overhead cost structure. And if I need to pay $5 an hour more to get labor, I will. But we'll get it on the other side on overhead. And I guess I'm thankful rigs are 5% of our revenue.
Right, okay.
So we'll buy labor back. I'm not worried about that. And we've been rotating our crews as best we can. Our utilization has been at or below industry average, largely because of our choice. We've declined work on price, and we don't apologize for that. Just like I wouldn't expect our customers to drill a well that doesn't make economic sense, I expect they wouldn't. It's pretty reasonable for us not to put our equipment out for a loss. Why would you do that?
Totally agree. I appreciate the color. That's all I've got. Thanks. I'll turn it back now.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Halleck.
Great. Thank you for participating in our conference call, and look forward to speaking with you all when we have our year-end call. Have a good day.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.